When physical therapy gets spiritual, should Christians avoid holistic and alternative medicine? This article is by Lindsay Mendenwald and is read by an automated voice. I have always enjoyed the Olympics, watching athletes who have trained hard and worked their bodies to the brink share their gifts on the world stage. Swimming events are a favorite of mine, but while I was watching the 2016 Games in Rio, something caught my eye outside of the Olympic pool. What looked like bruises all over swimmer Michael Phelps's body. The bruises were circular and seemed strategically placed. Similar marks were visible on actress Gwyneth Paltrow almost a decade prior. What were the marks, and were Phelps and Paltrow okay? It turned out that the circular marks were bruises from a type of physical therapy called cupping. Cupping is a type of alternative medicine that has unclear origins and a variety of alleged benefits. Knowing the background and purpose of cupping and other alternative therapies, such as Gua Sha, acupuncture, and massages, may help you determine if they are okay for Christians to use. This article will help you navigate different types of physical therapy so that perhaps the next time you need rehabilitation or treatment for an injury, you're at least able to recognize the terms and know the physical and sometimes spiritual aspects of those practices. Alternative and holistic medicine. Although the terms alternative medicine and holistic medicine are often used interchangeably, they are not one and the same. Alternative medicine is untraditional treatment for injury or illness, such as chiropractic and the use of herbal remedies. Holistic medicine focuses on healing the whole person. Holistic comes from the Greek word holos, which means whole. Through things like meditation, massage, hypnosis, and even yoga. Although alternative medicine and holistic medicine are different, they often overlap. This is one reason why it is difficult to paint with broad strokes, as things are often nuanced and require further investigation or testing. Thus, for the purposes of this article, we'll address specific treatments and practices, not the fields of holistic or alternative medicine in general. Roots and reasons. One of the first things we ask people when we meet them is, "Where are you from?" The answer can tell us a lot about why a person holds particular beliefs, has a certain accent, or cheers for a particular sports team. The same can be said of holistic and alternative medicine. Historically speaking, Christians have avoided alternative or holistic medicine because treatments are often based in Eastern worldviews or other Eastern religious practices outside of Christianity. The thesis sometimes is that if something is inextricably grounded in a system of beliefs and practices that are incompatible with the historic Orthodox Christian worldview, it is not good for Christians. The late Elliot Miller, founding editor of the Christian Research Journal, noted the difficulty of separating some practices from their roots. Christians who believe in the supreme authority of Scripture must also believe in the biblical doctrine of Satan and his pervasive influence in this present world system. If the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19, how much more the kingdom of the occult, his unique domain? Thus Christians have every reason to be cautious concerning phenomena that has had a long and strong connection to the realm of occultism and paganism. We see this, for example, with yoga, which is grounded in deeply Eastern philosophical roots and purposes that will be addressed later and cannot easily be separated from those beliefs. However, as practices have moved west, the spiritual roots of some have all but disappeared, which raises the question about how Christians should respond. Are some activities okay, even if the roots are against Orthodox Christianity? We've seen this, for example, within martial arts, a variegated sport popular even among Christians in the West. In other words, if alternative therapies can be explained and understood in ways that are compatible with Christianity, can those therapies then be reclaimed by Christians without the inclusion of different worldviews? Because something is discovered by someone who adheres to views that are not in alignment with Christianity, does this mean that they hold the stake in that practice forever? Probably not, but each Christian must use discernment as they approach circumstances in their own lives. Although a therapy's roots are important, they shouldn't be the sole consideration or determining factor when it comes to determining if a practice is allowable for Christians. If we put too much emphasis on the roots, we could fall into the genetic fallacy, which is the logical error of assessing a claim by focusing on its origin rather than its rational or evidential qualities. So, even though roots do matter, they shouldn't be the only feature we examine. In addition to roots, we should also consider the reasons for practices. What is the ultimate purpose for the treatment? What is it trying to achieve? What are the claims made? With holistic medicine, the goal is wholeness of self, physically, mentally, and spiritually. With yoga, for example, each pose is dedicated to a Hindu god or goddess, and the purpose of yoga is achieving union with those gods. If you're a Westerner practicing yoga, those reasons and roots for yoga still exist, even if you don't buy into them or practice for that purpose. You also need to consider the realistic outcomes of particular therapies. If the results sound too good to be true, that might very well be because it is too good to be true. Do as much research as you can about all kinds of treatments before trying one out. While this article will address only a few specific practices, asking yourself about something's roots and purpose can go a long way in helping you determine if it is suitable for Christians or you. Ultimately, we must discern the acceptability of each treatment through prayer and relevant scripture. Perhaps the most pressing question for Christians, then, is whether they should participate in particular alternative or holistic practices if they have non-Christian roots. In fact, you may be hoping that this article will tell you yes or no to the treatments we cover. It will not. This question is one each Christian must grapple with, using discernment, which Paul described to the church in Philippi. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1-9:11. Paul also warned the church in Rome, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Romans 12:2. As you approach each type of treatment addressed in this article, pray that God will help you determine whether you should proceed. A glance at popular therapies. Guasha. Guasha is an ancient Chinese technique that is making waves on TikTok and Instagram from skincare influencers. The claims about it are extensive. Potential benefits include helping with ailments such as Tourette's, hepatitis B, and symptoms of perimenopause. The process is simple. A practitioner puts some oil on the client's body and then scrapes the skin with a tool that looks like a squeegee that is designed to break the capillaries. Historically, coins have also been used, so guasha is sometimes referred to as coining. Guasha is on the rise in the West, and the techniques and tools used have shifted. For instance, instead of a scraping tool, a rolling rose quartz jade stone is often used. The primary benefits promoted seem to have shifted too, as it is now recommended for brighter and less puffy skin. Some practitioners say that guasha unblocks qi, the energy life force commonly sought after in Eastern philosophies, to promote wholeness in a person's body. But it seems that modern use of the technique is more of a social media skincare trend and less of a spiritual activity. In fact, most videos I watched promoting guasha as a skincare routine did not discuss energy or wholeness. Many who use it to reduce lines and wrinkles may have no idea where it comes from. The lesson, then, is to do your research. Don't assume the best or the worst. Instead, go in with an open mind that wants to learn and is willing to say no if the practice or therapy is too intertwined with non-Christian philosophy or the occult. Discernment is judging something well using scripture and biblical teachings to determine if something is appropriate. Will scripture always provide a clear-cut answer for every activity in which you can engage? No, but as noted, we can glean from scripture and through prayer insight as to what direction we might take. Acupuncture/acupressure. Acupuncture and acupressure are closely related to one another. The former is more invasive than the latter, but the goal for both is the same. Balance the yin and yang in the body. At least that's the traditional background of the ancient Chinese practices, which often promote physical healing by balancing a person's qi, as noted above with guasha. Acupuncture involves the insertion of needles at various target points on a person's body, each with its own benefits, such as relief from headaches or constipation. Acupressure is similar except no needles are used. Rather, tools are used to massage the body at particular points, Practitioners in the West don't always associate acupressure and acupuncture with spirituality. As for effectiveness, it seems that acupuncture is better than no therapy at all, though perhaps not more beneficial than placebo acupuncture, which mimics the process of acupuncture without inserting needles. With regard to acupressure, it seems that it may be effective for pain relief. Craniosacral therapy. Craniosacral therapy is a relatively modern osteopathic procedure developed by American Andrew Taylor still in the mid-1800s. Although it has evolved, it is still a relatively simple technique, massaging a person's skull. The claim is that parts of the skull can be moved in order to heal a person of pain and other problems, including cancer. The problem with this claim is that the skull contains no movable joints. Of all the therapies discussed in this article, this one is perhaps the most controversial, as it has resulted in at least 2 documented infantile deaths. The American Cancer Society has lambasted its use in cancer treatments, noting that it seems to cause more harm than good. Overall, it is not considered effective. Cupping. Cupping, as described in this article's introduction, seems to have taken the athletic world by storm. Even in the most recent Olympics in Paris, athletes from the track to the pool could be seen with the telltale bruises on their shoulders and backs. Cupping has been linked to Islam. Muhammad is said to have recommended it as a viable treatment, as well as ancient African and Asian cultures. There are 2 variations of cupping, wet and dry, but both serve the same primary purposes: pain management and reduced inflammation. The cupping process involves placing suction cups on the skin and leaving them there for 10 to 15 minutes. The difference between dry and wet cupping is that the latter involves making tiny incisions in the skin prior to the cup being put in place. There is little evidence to show that cupping is effective, and there are limited scientific studies about the therapy. Hot stone, Ayurvedic, and Thai massage. Hot stone massage is exactly like it sounds, using hot stones to massage a person's body to treat pain and tension. Stone massage originated in ancient China, but it has been popularized in Native American and Hawaiian cultures. There was a revival of the technique in 1993 when Mary Nelson contributed to its popularity in the United States. Nelson claimed that her spirit guide helped her discover how hot stones could heal the vibrations in a person's body. The hope is that the hot stones will balance a person's chakras, Sanskrit word used to describe wheels of life energy forces, and allow energy to be properly channeled throughout the body. As with other therapies mentioned in this article, the effectiveness of hot stone therapy is unclear, as there have been very few studies on the topic. Ayurvedic, Sanskrit for knowledge of life and longevity. Therapies originated in India more than 3,000 years ago. Legend says that the Hindu god Dhanvantari inhabited a human's body in order to pass along medical knowledge, including Ayurvedic. A variety of procedures, such as massage, yoga, and even enemas and laxatives, are used to establish balance within a person's body. As for its effectiveness, there is little evidence that Ayurveda works. Although it may seem like Thai massage originated in Thailand, it didn't. It was likely developed by a disciple of Buddha in India more than 2,500 years ago. In fact, it is rooted in Ayurvedic philosophy. A traditional Thai massage involves the person's body being manipulated into various yoga poses. Meditation is a key component. It does seem that Thai massage is effective for pain reduction, although there have not been a significant number of clinical trials published. Reflexology and Shiatsu. As you may have noticed, massage is perhaps the most popular form of physical therapy people around the world receive, and it's generally considered effective for all sorts of ailments, from soft tissue injuries to depression. 2 types of massage that are particularly popular in the West are reflexology and Shiatsu. As with Gua Sha, acupuncture, and acupressure, the techniques have ancient Eastern roots, and both are used to help with energy flow throughout the body, as understood within Eastern spirituality. The Chinese process of reflexology is similar to acupressure in that certain points in the body are targeted for massage. Shiatsu, which was popularized in Japan, involves stretching and using fingers to massage different areas of the body. The 2 techniques are deeply rooted in Eastern spirituality, but less so in the West. There is limited evidence as to the effectiveness of reflexology, and very little research has been done on the effectiveness of Shiatsu. Self-care. Although not directly related to the East, self-care is at a high point in our culture. Self-care is holistic in nature. The goal is wholeness of self, because if the individual is whole, the community can be whole also. This is achieved through various techniques, including mindfulness and meditation. The craze has seeped deeply into social media, which tells scrollers to prioritize themselves by relaxing and blocking out the rest of the world. Although these things aren't wrong per se, the problem is that these things are temporary, and the pursuit of them is both enticing and addictive. Further, as Ann Kennedy notes, soothing ourselves is not what Christ calls us to do. Indeed, we are called to hasten our own healing, but to rely on Jesus. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Matthew 16:24-26. Focus on Christ, not chronic pain. Living with chronic pain or pain due to injury is difficult, and seeking treatment for that pain is reasonable. Some alternative treatments are helpful and can lead to less pain and even a full recovery. On the other hand, some are considered pseudoscience and unreliable. In addition to considering the effectiveness of such treatments, we also need to determine if they are too deeply rooted in mysticism, Eastern philosophies, or the New Age. Sometimes they can truly be separated. Other times they cannot. In his book Unmasking the New Age, philosopher and New Age expert Douglas Grothaus issued Christians a clear warning. A host of rebellious spirits or demons can masquerade as agents of healing and health for the purpose of diverting attention from the great physician. He echoes, of course, Scripture itself, which says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." 1 John 4:1-3. In the lead up to these verses, the author of 1 John encourages his readers to abide in truth, writing, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray." 3-7. We see this same refrain in various parts of the New Testament, including from Jesus himself in Luke 21:8. "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and, 'The time is near.' Do not follow them. How then do we test the spirits and avoid being led astray? We need to be able to identify what is of God and what isn't, and the only way we can do that is to be immersed in the Word of God itself. We cannot spot falsehood if we do not know the truth. Finally, avoid making health an idol or your primary focus in life." In his book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Health is a great blessing, but the moment you make health one of your main direct objects, you start becoming a crank and imagining there is something wrong with you. You are only likely to get health provided you want other things more: food, games, work, fun, open air. In the same way, we shall never save civilization as long as civilization is our main object. We must learn to want something else even more." Lewis wrote this not to condemn the reader for wanting to be healthy. Rather, Lewis wanted to remind Christians that their hope is found looking forward and upward, not in the things this world has to offer, including remedies and cures. In her book, A Place of Healing, Johnny Erickson Tater reminds her readers that our eyes should be upward, rather than on our present circumstances. "If you're facing what seems to be an overwhelming situation in your life this week," she writes, "I want to encourage you to stand firm. Don't let this thing fill up your whole horizon. What a waste of an illness or injury if we read, or go on talking, day and night about that illness, that injury, and not about the God who allowed it for his own sovereign purposes. Our hope is found in Christ, the cure for all that ails us." Tata describes the restoration we have to look forward to in eternity, in glorious new bodies that will never tire and never fade. We'll explore high mountains of that place, and the wide, green meadows, and we will laugh out loud for joy over the goodness and grace of our Heavenly Father. In other words, our physical, earthly bodies may suffer and yield themselves to pain and hardship, but our hope is found in the everlasting where pain and sorrow will be no more. Remember that Jesus told His followers, "I have told you these things, so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. This isn't to say that we shouldn't seek medical help or prayer for healing. Certainly, there are various times in Scripture where Jesus heals the sick. But our lives shouldn't be spent striving for perfect health, as that will never be achieved on this side of heaven. Our goal in life is to do our work as unto the Lord. See Colossians 3:23. Recognizing that our bodies may not work the way we want them to, but we're still called to serve our Father. Living the pain-free life is not guaranteed, and we shouldn't pursue all measures of treatment without first examining their roots and reasons. What is your reason for getting such treatment? Your heart should be aligned with the desires of God's heart. Psalm 139:19-24. Ultimately, Christians need to be on guard and test the spirits wherever they go. And we need to protect our hearts against pride, including the desire to live pain-free lives. Instead, let's be known as a people of hope, people who don't rely on magic or unholy spirituality to find wholeness, but people who rely on the Holy One and the Shalom that only He can offer. In the end, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21:4.